Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. It's just so powerful to be together in a room singing together. I know we've said this umpteen times about how much we miss being together and singing together, but I can't help but be reminded every time I'm with a group of people who are singing out, who are worshiping, just how wonderful that is, just what a blessing that is. May we never take that for granted again, and may we fully sing and worship the Lord together every opportunity that we get. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. As Matt said, my name is Brandon Porter. Know many of you have been here several times to lead in worship, and got to preach one time this summer during the little short shutdown, and so preached online for you. And Monica and our family were here for several years as members of Simpsonville. Thankful for the opportunity to continue to serve you through the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, where my role is primarily to share news. And as the editor of Baptist Press, the opportunity to share with you many stories that are happening in the world of Southern Baptist all across the globe. That there have been a lot of challenging things that have happened in the Southern Baptist Convention over the last few months. But there's also some very good news that we've had the opportunity to share and to celebrate together. Some of that through your generosity to the cooperative program, which this church gives through to help fuel the mission of making disciples and reaching people for Christ and standing up for things that we believe in. One of the great things that you're a part of through your giving through the cooperative program is placing 50 ultrasound machines in pregnancy support centers by the Roe versus Wade 50th anniversary in 2023. I can tell you that even this last, even Friday, one of those machines went into a clinic in Alabama, and that's through the giving that's happened here. There's been one donated to a clinic in Tennessee, and there are many more on the horizon. And that's just one piece of good news about pushing back the darkness and standing up for life that we have the opportunity to do as we work together, as we partner together through the cooperative program. Well, this morning, I want to go to a passage that I've read many times. I've talked about it. In very important times and in situations, but I don't think I've ever preached through this text. And so you're hearing this sermon just like I'm hearing it for the very first time. So if you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a text that I'm excited to work our way through over these next few minutes together, because I believe it will be a great hope and a great encouragement to you as well. What if you knew something was going to happen in life, in your life? You knew that you would have the opportunity. And this is not just like, I know that we're going to have roast for dinner or lunch because we left it in the crock pot. You know, not that. Like something that I know 30 years from now, this is going to happen. And here's something that comes to my mind, okay? So if you can go with me, Alverton Elementary School is where I was a part of elementary school in rural Warren County down in the Bowling Green area. We had those small gyms, you know, like you see in the movie Hoosiers, the wood floors and wood bleachers. And when you sat on the front row there along, you were in play because your toes crossed the line and you were on the court. It was so small. And we were in there so tightly. And we would have PE in there. I was in seventh grade. This was about 1986. And I remember when Jason Ray walked into that PE class with these wild-looking white, red, and black shoes on his feet. And all of the guys around, we stopped in our tracks and said, "What are those?" And he said, "These are Air Jordans." And it was the first time that most of us, it was certainly the first time that I had ever seen a pair of Air Jordans. I don't remember anything else about PE ever, hardly in my whole career, except us standing around Jason admiring his Air Jordans. Do you know that if you were to go to eBay right now, there is a pair of Air Jordan tennis shoes, those shoes that Jason had on that are dead stock, that they never sold, that they never left the box, the original tags, all the paper that's in them. Do you know that those shoes could be yours, original from 1986, they could be yours for $70,000. Now, they have been marked down in the last 2 weeks from $90,000. And so you should grab them now while they're on sale, right? If we had only known to go to Foot Locker and buy every pair of Air Jordans they had and to put them in a box and slide it under the bed and wait 30 plus years later and then pull them back out. There are things that we all have been there. If I had only known, if I could have only been prepared that this was coming. And that's hard for us to do, right? That's hard to know what's happening in our lives and the impact and the ramifications. It's hard to know about the significance and the certainty of things that are to come in the future. But the Bible gives us some things that it tells us will happen. It doesn't necessarily tell us exactly when it will happen, but it gives us an assured word that this will happen. Therefore, let your life be shaped around this event. And the second coming of Jesus is one of those things. We've all been through difficulty this last couple of years. But we've known loss, and we've known death, and we've known fear, and we've known grief, and we've known sorrow, and we've known pain, and we've known sickness all of our lives. It's just been much more intense and in focus in these last couple of years. How can you know for sure when someone says that they're in a better place or that you'll see them again? How can you know for sure that that will happen? I think looking at this text today will help us to understand that, to understand how we can say that and how we can receive that and how we can trust that and we can believe it. And so look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Paul writes to the Thessalonians. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." I'm going to pray. I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open because we're just going to stay right here. We're just going to walk right through it. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you for, Lord, the fact that we can trust you, that we can depend on you. God, we thank you that you are constant. Lord, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us. The question of what happens next, what happens after this life is over, is something that we all naturally wonder, think about, talk about. Lord, we thank you that you have given us an answer. We are able to know because you have told us. Our Creator has shared with his creation how they can be prepared and what comes next. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us, help us, comfort us, encourage us as we look here in this text in 1 Thessalonians today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to notice about this text is exactly where Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope." This passage does not dismiss grief. It doesn't say, "We want you to be informed so you will not grieve." It says, "We want you to be informed so that you will grieve with hope." It's an important thing to remember for us as God's people. Christians grieve. I don't like gospel songs. I've grown up singing Southern gospel music, and there are some songs that I just don't like. I get what they're saying, but I don't like what they're saying. When they say, "Don't cry for me," I don't like that. Because those tears are a natural part of grief. Those tears are evidence of love that is there. The fact that you are sorrowful, the fact that you are overwhelmed by emotion because your heart is broken, that this person who mattered so much to you in this life is now not going to be walking with you the rest of your days on this planet is heartbreaking. We are created to feel emotion and to express that emotion. And grief is one of those emotions because of death, because of love. But Paul doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say it's okay to grieve. He goes farther. He creates the framework for our grief, that we are to grieve with hope. Don't be like the rest of the world who has no hope, who has just only a box full of questions when it comes to the end. I've been to the funeral of those who did not know Christ and listened to their family members reflect on what had happened and how their life had shaped out and celebrated many good things, and that there was a lot of joy, but yet there was an emptiness when we came to the end, to what happens now. That is not the case for the Christian. The Christian remembers and celebrates and gives thanks even in the midst of their grief for the life that is lived, and then they come to the place with a longing, with a hope, with an assurance that this is not the end, that there are other chapters of life, of relationship yet to be written. And so Paul here is beginning to unpack this. He wants to help these Thessalonians who are struggling with that exact same human struggle of what happens next. What do I do with my sorrow? What do I do with my grief? And so Paul says that we grieve, but we grieve with hope. I wonder if you have allowed yourself to grieve. If you've lost someone that you love, maybe you've thought mature Christians don't grieve. Mature Christians are not supposed to feel this way. And so I'm going to pack it down. I'm going to press it down. Friend, I would encourage you, if it's been some time since you lost that person that you loved and you've not expressed that grief as you should, that then maybe you need to sit down and talk to someone. Maybe some friends in your small group, in your Sunday school class. Maybe you just need to get together and process through that with them. Maybe you need to get together with one of your pastors and process that through with them so that you can face even your grief with hope. And Paul continues on here in this text. He says, second, faith in Jesus gives hope of eternal life with him. It's not just hope for hope's sake. It's because of who Christ is and what Christ has done. Look there in verse 14. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. There are some questions that come into this text. How can we be included in this great resurrection? How can we be included in this reunion that is mentioned here in this text? And Paul answers that, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, it is through faith in Christ. It is trusting in him. The fact that he has come and that he has lived in our place. He has lived the perfect life that we did not, could not, would not live. We have all sinned and pushed against God as our creator, as the authority in our lives. But God, because he is gracious and he is kind, he has sent Jesus, who lived perfectly in our place. And therefore, because the penalty of sin is death, Jesus willingly went to the cross. And so not only has he lived on our behalf, he's also died on our behalf. He stepped into our place at the cross. And when he rose 3 days later, Paul is saying he laid the foundation so that you, Christian, that you will also rise up from that grave in victory. Right there, those who have faith in Christ. Not that their grandma was a part of the founding of this church and has held it together for all these generations. not because of the fact that you have done more right versus more wrong. It's not in your works. It's not a competition of how good you are when you die. It's not because of the tradition, the fact that you were there every time the doors were open. It's because of what Christ has done for us, and we have placed our faith. We have leaned on him. We are looking to him. Where is our hope? My hope is in Jesus. My hope is built in nothing less than Christ, the solid rock, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, the sweetest distraction, the sweetest other picture of life. It looks good if I'm good to people. It looks good if I've got my traditions all lined up in order. It looks good if I'm serving and I'm giving and I'm this and I'm that. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying it is in Christ and in Christ alone. And what that means is that the playing field has now been leveled. Because do you know who can come to Christ? Anyone who calls the name of Jesus. Anyone who asks for forgiveness and calls on him to forgive them of their sin, to confess your sin, to admit that you are a sinner, and to confess that sin to him and ask him for his forgiveness and follow him. That's who can come to Jesus. Anyone can come to Jesus who would confess their sin and follow after him. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4, verses 25, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. He was delivered up. He died to take our sin, so that he could give to us eternal life. The great exchange, it's called in the Bible. He takes our sin and he gives us forgiveness and grace and mercy and life. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is the deposit. That the Holy Spirit at work in the believer is what helps us understand our life has changed. God is now at work in me. And it's interesting here in this text, Romans 4:25, he was delivered up for our trespass and raised for our justification. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I believe I'm a Christian. Here he says, and raised for our justification. We are raised and fully aware that we are his because we are with him. Exchanging sin, exchanging death for forgiveness and life. It is the good news. It is the hope. It is what brings joy to the Christian, no matter the circumstance. Look here in this text. He says in verse 15, for we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 15 tells us Jesus is the source of this promise. Friends, this is almost too good to be true. Right? It sounds too good to be true. While we're in the 1980s, go to another scene in the 1980s when I can remember my younger brother Josh coming and giving me some command of something to do. And my response usually to Josh, and his response to me usually, was what? Who said? Right? And so you learn over the years that you don't just start by saying, go feed the dog. You start the conversation by saying what? Mom said, go feed the dog. Dad said, you're going to take your shower first, so get off of the Nintendo and go take your shower so that I can play the Nintendo, right? Because he told me I could go second. It was the authority who said. The teacher said, the principal said, the coach said, the pastor said, mom and dad say, the policeman said, who said? I think Paul is thinking in that way as he writes this text because he stops midway through this text. And in verse 15, he says, for we say this to you, not just because I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, not just because I'm writing this letter of good news, not just because I came and I preached the good news to you Thessalonians, or Thessalonians, I don't know what they're called, but because the Lord said, by a word of the Lord. And so as Paul heard this directly from Christ, you, by the goodness of God, by the gift of God, of his word, have the opportunity now, today, to hear this as a word from the Lord. To grieve with hope. To know that through Christ, who has come and has taken our place, that you can experience resurrection as he experienced it. That everything that we're going to talk about in a moment, you can know of the authority by which all of that comes to us as God's people. We live in an age when authority seems to be less and less meaningful. It ought not be that way. God is the one who has created structure and authority for our good, for our safety, for our protection. And it is a shame when people who have been given that authority abuse that authority and use it in wrong ways. But most of the time, it is given for our good and for our benefit. That's what Paul wants you to understand. The confidence that you can have to put your foot on this hope in the midst of grief and sorrow is not from a Hallmark card. It's from the very word of the Lord. Jesus himself has said, in the midst of your grief, have hope, because I am coming again, and I will gather those who are left with me. And so let's look at this passage. Let's begin to process through here, sort of the happenings, the unpacking and unfolding here. Look at verse 15 through 17. He says, for we say this to you by a word from the Lord, we who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. A happy reunion day is coming for Christians. A happy reunion day is coming. Just to stop for a minute. As I thought about this sermon, as I thought about this text, there's just not much more to be said other than what is said. Because that takes my mind and it takes my heart to places where we have lowered down in the grave people that I've loved, and they've loved Jesus. And it brings to my mind family members. It brings fellow church members. It brings to mind friends who are now asleep, as this text calls. And it says that there will come a day when those of us who remain will be called up in the air, and he will bring them as they are resurrected, as they are glorified into their new bodies. In 2006, I think I've maybe shared this before, Monica and I buried a baby boy at 26 weeks. He was delivered. He's buried in the Smiths Grove Cemetery in Smiths Grove, Kentucky, where I was pastoring at the time. Thinking about the reality of this text is that the first glimpse, the first thing, is to look and to focus on Jesus in the clouds, the trumpet, and he's returned. And then to begin to think about those who will be joining us there. Those who I mean, goodness, this is the first time I'll see my little boy. And there are dozens and hundreds of those that we've grieved, that we have lost. And there and there and there they are as we are all called up together to meet him in the clouds. And those that we have studied, those that have inspired us, that have come before us in church history, those missionaries, those church planters, those Bible writers, those Christians from generations all the way back, that we are gathered together there for that happy reunion. And Jesus is there in the center of it all. The one who has held it all together all along is there in the center of it all. And Paul says, so we will always be with the Lord. We will be gathered to be parted no more. How we have felt the weight of being parted over these last 2 years. We have felt the weight of how Zoom calls just don't get it. Right? So thankful for technology. Our two oldest sons, Maddox and Isaac, are in the military. Maddox is in England. We've seen him for an hour since July the 7th of last year. COVID knocked out some breaks that he should have had. Lord willing, he'll land in the Louisville airport on Saturday. What a blessing it's been to FaceTime and to be able to see him and to see his room and to talk to him. But it won't be anything like seeing him walk down that terminal. Long separation with people that we love, and we will be gathered there together again. In the presence of Jesus, I long to see Jesus. I long to be with Christ. That song, My Jesus, I Love Thee, that we sang the first verse, that's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite hymns. Because it just so clearly, but yet so beautifully, shares with us the great value of Christ. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I've loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And there will come a day when I'll be able to see him eyeball to eyeball and tell him to his face, my Jesus, I love thee. Thank you for your grace. And we will be parted no more. Paul says we will always be together with the Lord. Christians will never be separated from Jesus. So as we think about this text, what do we do with this? Because we might be tempted to just say, that's really good news and that's very encouraging, and just sit on it, right? I'm gonna hold on to it for me. But that's not Paul's intent with sharing this news with us. Look there. Look in verses 8, well, just verse 18. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. What do we do with this good news that we've received? I can think of four things that we ought to do. First is what Paul says, is to encourage one another. To encourage one another. And so I just want to push on you a little bit right here to think, to get beyond the cliche, right? The next time you go to the funeral home for a fellow Christian, the next time you walk by the casket and there is a grieving spouse or grieving children or grieving parents or grieving friends or family members, I just want to push on you a bit to not use one of those standard cliches. But now, which you probably were before, but now you are informed. Therefore, you're on the hook to think and to do something with this. And Paul says the first thing to do is to encourage one another. What would the encouraging word that you would share with somebody in light of this text, beyond just we'll see them again? What would you say? And I'm not going to give you three things that the preacher said to say. We're just going to stop right there. And I want you to think about it. And then the second thing is to be mindful. Is to keep perspective. Good grief. Come on, Christians. Stop acting like the world is falling down around your feet. There's bad news. Guess what? There's sin in the world. There's bad news in my house because Dad is a sinner. And sometimes Dad acts in ways that are wrong and rude and mean and not helpful to other people and certainly not honoring to the Lord. But you know what? Our house is full of grace and mercy and kindness, and it's full of justice, and it's full of forgiveness and reconciliation too, because the Lord is the Lord of our house. Friends, the Lord is the Lord of this world. I don't know if they act like it in Washington, D.C. I don't know if they act like it in Frankfurt. I don't know if they act like it down at Simpsonville City Hall. But guess what? He is. Therefore, as we watch the news, as we have conversation about culture, as we create, as we take in, we are to be mindful that there is an all-powerful Jesus, who is the sovereign Lord over all things, who has the power to even raise the dead from the cold, hard ground. Therefore, we do not lose hope. Negativity, pessimism, despair, complaining. In other places, I could preach you a whole other sermon that Paul says those have no place in the life of the local church, in the life of a Christian. We live in an informed way. That's how he started it, wasn't it? I don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope. It totally makes sense that those who have no hope would ask questions like, what's the purpose? What's the meaning? What happens if nothing else is out there? Who cares? What's the difference? But Paul says, now we are people who grieve with hope because of the power of our Savior. And therefore, we're called to be people who live with hope. Right? We are people who believe that we have been created in the image of God. Therefore, all people are worthy of dignity and respect. And so we buy ultrasound machines to put in pregnancy support centers because we want people to hear the heartbeat of their babies. And we want to create church cultures where people who are thinking about abortion know that I can go to that church and they're going to support me and they're going to love me and they're going to walk alongside me in raising these children, this child. There is going to be help. There is a safety net, and it's at my local church. We live in light of the power of Christ. And then the third thing that we see is that we're to be sharing. Like I say, this is really good news. This is amazing news. How will you share it with others? to encourage someone else tells you the first step is to share it with other Christians. We don't want you to be uninformed as you grieve. But friend, I think Paul would very much want us to share it with people outside of our local church family as well. How can you know hope in the midst of grief? How can you be certain that the cemetery down the street is not all there is in this life for us? Is to be sharing. And then finally, to be prepared. With the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. We don't know when that moment will be, but we have certainty that it is coming. Are you living your life in light of that moment? Your priorities, what you're doing with your money, where you look for hope, where you look for purpose, how you define accomplishment and achievement. Are you living in the light that Jesus is the Lord over all, even the Lord of life and death itself? Are you living your life so it would make an impact to glorify him as we await his wonderful, powerful second coming? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for Christ, his willingness to come and to live for us. Jesus, we say thank you for redemption and forgiveness. We thank you for the hope that you have given to us to place our strong confidence in you and your overcoming the grave. Lord, I pray that you would call those to yourself who do not have this hope. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we sing here in just a moment. I'm going to be available here in the front. I'd be happy to talk with you, to pray with you. Maybe you don't have this hope for yourself. Be glad to talk to you about how it can be yours today as you place your faith in Christ. Let's stand together as we sing.